Back when Lauren and I were in seminary, we lived out in Chicago, and we found a job with a family in Lake Forest, Illinois, watching their two boys after school. They were 8 and 11, I think, when we started watching them, and we would, you know, pick them up after school. We would get them snacks, get them working on their homework. Sometimes we'd, you know, play a little bit and get dinner ready, get dinner going. And one particular afternoon, I was at our house, or the place where we were staying, and it was my day to pick up the kids. And I thought, you know, I'm going to be a pastor, so I should probably read my Bible, you know, and pray, and you know. So I did. I probably read my Bible a little bit, and then I began to pray, and after a moment, my phone rang, and it was the father of the two boys, and he said, "Hey, are you picking up the boys today?" And I looked at my watch, and I thought, "Oh no, I fell asleep while I was praying." And so I told him that. I told him, "You know, I'm so sorry." He said, "Don't worry about it. I've got Reed. Just come up and meet me here." And he said, "It's good to know that it happens to pastors too." So I tell you that story because we are beginning this series on prayer called The Living God. And I want you all to know that this is not something I've mastered. I don't consider prayer to be one of my strong points, the strong points of my spirituality. I am not an expert on prayer. So I really, as much as any other series we've done, I acknowledge that I'm taking this journey with you all. And so I figured I would maybe go to an expert to start it off, a man named Richard Foster, whose book called Prayer is one of the classics. I just started looking at it this week, and I thought, man, this is good stuff. We have it in our library, so if you wanted to check it out, go for it. But this is how Richard Foster, what he writes in the introduction to this book. "And God is inviting you and me to come home. To come home to where we belong. To come home to that for which we were created. His arms are stretched out wide to receive us. His heart is enlarged to take us in. For too long we have been in a far country, a country of noise and hurry and crowds, a country of climb and push and shove, a country of frustration and fear and intimidation. And he welcomes us home, home to serenity and peace and joy, home to friendship and fellowship and openness, home to intimacy and acceptance and affirmation. We do not need to be shy. He invites us into the living room of his heart, where we can put on old slippers and share freely. He invites us into the kitchen of his friendship, where chatter and batter mix in good fun. He invites us into the dining room of his strength, where we can feast to our heart's delight. He invites us into the study of his wisdom, where we can learn and grow and stretch and ask all the questions we want. He invites us into the workshop of his creativity, where we can be co-laborers with him, working together to determine the outcome of events. He invites us into the bedroom of his rest, where new peace is found and where we can be naked and vulnerable and free. It is also the place of deepest intimacy, where we know and are known to the fullest. The key to this home, this heart of God, is prayer." I mean, that's how I want to pray. How about you? I mean, does that vision of prayer, that description of prayer he gives, sound appealing? And as Richard Foster acknowledges that for most of us, there are a lot of things that get in the way. He mentions some of the external things, the responsibilities, the crowds, the noise, all of that. I think for a lot of us, though, the things that ultimately get in the way are internal. Our beliefs, the lies that we have believed, and the half-truths that we have in our hearts about who God really is and how much we really need to be connected with God. And so as we begin this series, I think it's important for us to begin with a definition of what prayer is. What are we talking about when we talk about prayer? And here's what I think prayer is. Prayer is the path out of a false dualism into contemplative truth. I'm just kidding. That's not my definition of prayer. I did read that this week, and I thought, that's not where we're going on Sunday. I mean, I'm sure you could mine that definition, and it would be, that's Brian Zahn, by the way, a pastor in Missouri. But anyway, here's how we're going to define prayer today. Prayer is about connecting with the living God. Prayer is about connecting with the living God. Very simple. Not easy, but very simple. And we begin in the Gospel of John with Jesus' own words in John 15. Jesus uses this word, abiding. Abiding in God. And I want to make three observations about what Jesus has to say in John 15 that I think help us to begin this journey of prayer. Now, the first observation is about the image that Jesus uses. It's an image of life. It's the ecology of the grapevine. If you've been around grapevines, you know that grapes only grow because there is a vine rooted in the ground. And I think sometimes when we talk about vines, we think about vines, we think of kind of floppy things. A grapevine near the ground is much more like a tree trunk. It's very solid and firm so that all of the nutrients in the ground can go up through that vine and be distributed through the branches and through the grapes. A grapevine or a branch or a grape that isn't connected to a vine is dead. It doesn't exist at all because all of the nutrients, all of the water that it needs to survive comes through the vine. And so Jesus says in verse 4, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. One of the reasons we don't pray very well is because we don't really believe that. We think, you know, we're pretty good. We're doing all right. You know, God, we want there. You know, it's kind of a bonus. If God would bless us, but really, we're doing pretty well. We're pretty self-sufficient. We're pretty independent. We're living our lives. We're making our money. We're putting food on the table. And if I'm really in need, then I can go to God. But we don't believe, apart from me, you can do nothing. But friends, prayer is about connecting us to the source of all life and love and goodness. And whatever we have, whatever we are achieving or accomplishing apart from that is purely by God's grace. It's not because of us. It's because of what God has given us. Even if we aren't acknowledging God for it, even if we don't recognize the existence of God, all life and love and goodness comes from God. And prayer is us as Christians recognizing that all of it comes from God, and that we want to be connected in the deepest and most life-giving way possible to that God. So the image of the grapevine. Now, the second observation I want to make is that when we talk about prayer, the first step has already been made, and the first step has been made by God. It's not like we are, you know, just out of nowhere knocking on God's door and saying, hey, you want to be friends? You want to talk? God has already taken the first step. Look at where Jesus begins in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. We are not even in the picture yet. This is something that has already begun in the relationship of the Trinity, of Father, Son, and Spirit. The community has already been formed and has reached out to us. In verse 5, Jesus gets to, I am the vine and you are the branches, but it begins with God. Then in verse 4, Jesus begins this series of saying, as I have done this, so you do this. Verse 4, abide in me as I abide in you. Jesus has already taken the step to abide with us in the incarnation. He has come to be with us. We're asked to respond. Verse 9, As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. It's not us just loving God. It's that the Father has already loved the Son, the Son has loved us, and now we are called to respond to the love that God has already handed out to us. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus has already walked the path of faithfulness and loving relationship with the Father. We are simply called to join him on that path. When we talk about prayer, we have to recognize that God has already taken the first step, that God has already opened the lines of communication. Everything that God has done has been for that purpose, to be in community and relationship with us. God created the world not because he needed it, but because the divine community of Father, Son, and Spirit wanted to share its love with us and invite us in. The incarnation, Jesus coming to this earth, is so that God could break down the barriers of heaven and earth and walk among us, be with us face to face. The cross is about destroying the barrier of sin that keeps us from the fullness of relationship and communion with God. The resurrection promises us that we have a living God who is always listening, who is always there, whom we cannot be separated from by anything in this world. Pentecost is about God sending the Holy Spirit so that he could be with us in the most intimate way by indwelling in us and being among us in community. And so when we pray, we are responding to all of that. If we think, oh, you know, I don't want to bother God. Well, no. God has done all of this to say, I want to be with you. I want you to be with me. So God has taken the first step and opened the lines of communication. And the third observation is, as Jesus speaks, he illuminates the mutuality of prayer more into this relationship that prayer is about. So why do we pray? It's not because God needs a bunch of information about us. Like that God doesn't know. Like, oh, hey, God, you know, I just wanted to pass on. Wait, what did the doctor say? Okay, here's what I want to tell you about my condition. God doesn't need that information about us. We don't need to fill our prayers with all of the info that we feel like we need to fill God in on. I mean, it's great to share with God what's going on in our hearts and our lives, but that's not why we pray, to give God information. We don't pray to give God advice. In fact, in Matthew 6, when Jesus is teaching about prayer, he says, don't think you're going to be heard because of all the words you've heaped up. It's not about the words that we say. Prayer, we pray because God desires relationship with us. And relationship is mutual. So at the heart of prayer isn't this kind of transaction that goes on where I ask God or I do something for God and God gives me what I want. I say, hey, God, can you give me this? Good. Check. All right, move on. We do ask for things as part of prayer. And Jesus acknowledges that. But look at verse 7. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you want, wish, and it will be done for you. You see, the asking comes out of the abiding. The abiding in his love and in his word, letting God speak to us, then we know what to ask for. Then we can really engage in this, what we call the prayers of petition or intercession. We can ask God for things, but only out of the relationship that we have with God. And so prayer is about being together with God, living life with the living God in a mutual relationship of love. Now, each week we're going to have a practice, kind of like Lent. You guys, I was really excited about how y'all engaged with Lent and the give it up stuff and taking on the practices of gratitude and trust and so on. And I just really appreciated seeing that. And so I thought, you know, we're going to talk about prayer, but what we want to do is not just teach about what prayer is or the abstraction of the concept of prayer, but I want to give you some really concrete practices that you can take home and use as a gateway into God's presence. And this one, this week, some of them will be a little bit more involved or technical. This week is not that technical at all. It's just about being with God. And I would just encourage you this week. You know, originally I said 5 minutes. 5 minutes is a very, very short time. 10 minutes maybe, give a try. I mean, you have 1,440 minutes in your day. What we're asking you to do is take 5 or 10 of those or 15 of those to just say, I'm going to be with God for this time. I'm just going to do what God made me for, what God came to this earth for, what Jesus died for and what he was raised for. I'm going to do that. I'm going to practice that for 5 or 10 minutes. Just be with God. All right. It's not about asking for things. It's not about any structure. So here are some just tips of what I want to encourage you to do. The first is to find time or make time in a place where you can be still in your soul. A place where you can be still in your soul. This might be, your closet. This is the only place I can be just away and still. It might be, in a coffee shop. You know, it doesn't have to be no noise or perfect outside, but just a place where you can be still in your soul. And as you begin, I encourage you to take a deep breath. Can you all do that with me? And relax. And let your shoulders go down. I don't know, wherever you keep your stress in your body, relax it. I keep my stress a lot in my shoulders. And I'll take a deep breath and I'll be like, wait a second, when did my shoulders go into my ears? You know, like, just let yourself be relaxed. This is not an obligation. This is not this agenda. There's no agenda for this. You're just being present with the God who loves you. It might be a little awkward if you haven't done this before. Well, what do I do? What do I think? It's okay. Relationships are awkward, especially when we move into a different stage of it or are engaging at a new level of intimacy. It can be a little awkward, so just let that go. And the same is true with your thoughts, because you're going to have thoughts. Any of you, when you try and pray, you just have these thoughts that keep coming into your mind. Does that happen to anyone? No. Doesn't happen. You guys are just like perfect. Your soul, you're like this, and everything is perfect. Okay, fine. Well, okay. Pastor John, if you have thoughts that come into your mind during this time of prayer, two things we can do. One is accept the thought and let it go. Oh man, I have to go to the grocery store to buy food for this week. Okay. I had that thought. Let it go. Don't be hard on yourself. It comes to, I know you guys are all part, you're all said, it doesn't happen to you, but it happens to most people that thoughts come into your mind. That's okay. It doesn't mean you're not spiritual or anything. Accept the thought, be gracious, let it go. The other thing you can do if a thought comes into your head and it keeps coming back is maybe that's what God wants to talk to you about. So just go with it. Bring that anxiety, bring that thought, that concern into your conversation with God. Just go with it. There's no agenda here. Maybe it's something God wants to talk to you about. Some of you are really great when you pray, you thank God, and you list off your blessings and you thank God for them, and that's great to do. But what I want to encourage you in this time is not to fill up the time with your words. So it's fine, give God thanks, but then recognize that this is just a time to be with God. And so give God a chance to be present with you as well. And if you really are having trouble focusing, one little tool that you could use is if you look on page 6 of your worship folder, or if you look up here, you get a click, Kevin. These images are just about reflecting or meditating on these things that God has done to be with you. So you could draw them on a card that you have or cut them out or whatever, but you have the manger up here about the incarnation. You have the cross. You have the empty tomb. You have the spirit for Pentecost. All of these are events in the history of God's work in this world that remind us that God wants to be with us. And so you might just take time to meditate on one of those and recognize that God loves you and wants to be with you. But just do it. Just take 5-10 minutes a day to just be with God. to pray. Prayer is about abiding in the vine, in the source of our life. It's about being in relationship with the living God. Prayer is the fulfillment of God's purpose in creation, in incarnation, in the cross, and the resurrection. And it's the beginning of everything else we do as children of God. So let's take a few minutes. Let's take, we'll just try 3 minutes. And in this setting, it's going to seem like a long time. Okay. When you think, oh man, this has been a long time, accept the thought and let it go and just be with God. So 3 minutes on my watch. Let's pray. In Christ, as you abide with us, may we abide with you. May we see the truth that apart from you we can do nothing. And may we have a vision for the intimacy and fruitfulness and grace that we find when we rest in your presence. We pray it all through the living Christ. Amen.